Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Have your Bibles or your smartphones or tablets and want to follow along with us, we are going to be looking at that passage in a moment, but it's going to take us a little bit to get there. We are working our ways through a series called Christus Victor. Christ is victor. Christ is the conqueror. Humanity was trapped by evil and held in the grip of death, captured by sin and enslaved by Satan. But Christ came and he battled evil and sin and death and Satan and won and was victorious over them through his life, death, and resurrection. Christ conquered as Christus Victor. So I want to talk to you about that this morning. Sometimes I preach to myself and I let you listen in. That's what I'm going to do this morning. So, you know, we're just listening. You're going to listen in to what I need to tell myself from time to time. Last week, we looked at how Christ can change us by conquering evil in our heart. That happens as we partner with him. It happens as we set our hearts on things above, as we set our minds on things above. It happens as we follow his ways. And you know what? When we do this, amazing things happen. We've seen people's lives change. We've seen people's hearts change. Addictions have been overcome. Peace has been found. Love has been evident. Strength to face the difficulties is present. We've found God to be faithful again and again and again as he shows up as Christus Victor. Next week, I want to talk about Christ as Christus Victor in our world. We've seen God do some amazing things in our world, too. Today, though, what I want to talk to you about is the dangers of victory. You would think, oh, victory, ah, that's fantastic. And it is. But there's some dangers there as well. See, you're in a spiritual battle. God has given you his grace to overcome in different areas of your life. He's given you the grace to walk well in difficult circumstances. He's given you the grace to see victory in different areas of your life and the world. But there's a danger in victories.
One of the greatest dangers in victories
is partial victory, partial success.
Here's what happens.
We partner with Christ to overthrow evil in our hearts, and Christ does an amazing work over time. We see addictions lessen their hold on us. We watch our relationships grow healthier. We're amazed that Jesus has changed us enough to be at least look good on the outside. We've experienced the work of Christ the Conqueror. We look around and you know, the world's a little bit in a mess. And we look and we compare ourselves to people and people we used to hang out with, or the people we used to be, or the world that we see, and we become, dare I say, content or a little bit proud. Oh, yet we know that God wants to do more of a work in our lives. We can see where our character needs to be developed. If we're going to be like Jesus, then we can see where God needs to take us steps further into his kingdom. But compared to where we were, compared to what we see, we're doing well. We've had partial success. And sometimes we get there, we feel like we can rest on our own laurels. And there's this sidebar, if you would, to partial success. I want to call it triumphalism. Most obvious case is in the Middle Ages, Christus Victor was the primary understanding of Christ's work on the cross, Christ the Conqueror. The problem came when Christ triumphant became the rallying cry of Christian Europe against the heathen Muslims or whatever was happening in the Middle East. Christ triumphant became Christian triumphalism, and Christ triumphant expressed itself like this. We're right. Everyone else is wrong. And because we're right, we should make everyone do things our way. We should use our worldly power to enforce a way of life on people. And in the name of Christian triumphalism, many atrocities and evils were fostered and carried out in the Middle Ages. And those atrocities were not only carried out against Muslims, they were carried out against Christians. Christian triumphalism perverts the power of the kingdom of God. It takes the conflict that we face, which the Bible says is not against flesh and blood, and makes it a conflict that is really personally against flesh and blood. And the personal fight is spun in a way where God is on our side and he's against all other people. And here's what, you can see that on the big picture. Here's what Christian triumphalism looks like on a personal level. I've known people who, well, they've experienced the power of Christus Victor. The Spirit of God works in their lives in so many different ways. They look back at what they were and they've seen him overthrowing addictions, demolishing demonic strongholds, setting people free, healing relationships, healing every kind of problem, and Christ has been triumphant in their life. And what can happen is this. If Christian triumphalism sneaks in, it's a person starts to feel like, I have the corner on spirituality. Others aren't as spiritual as I am because, well, they haven't experienced stuff the way I've experienced it. And only people who experience God my way are really spiritual, and everybody else, well, they're just kind of anemic spiritual. They have an anemic spirituality. You've heard non-Christians use phrases like holier than thou. What they are seeing usually is Christian triumphalism. Within the church, it expresses itself in a number of different ways. It turns into denominationalism. Different denominations are all right. God has a way of expressing himself through different people. Different denominations are all right. Denominationalism, when we hold that our denomination up to be the best, the most spiritual, the truest, authentic church, that isn't good. What happens is the concept of triumph in the kingdom of God over the power of sin, evil, death, and Satan gets mixed up with the concept of triumph in the world. And we start looking for markers of the world's success. And we start to think about power and the way the world thinks about it. And when we do that, our lives get distorted. The core of the kingdom of God is the cross, a symbol of weakness. We use the symbol of the cross. Don't use the symbol of a sword. Don't use any other symbol. Use the symbol of the cross. The example of the kingdom and the life of the kingdom, it is found in Jesus Christ. Listen to the power dynamics in Christ's life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. That could be translated Christian triumphalism. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with each other, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow on heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ victorious. Christus victor. It says he was in very nature God. But if anyone could claim Christian triumphalism, it would be Jesus. It would be him, and yet Scripture tells us that he did not hang on to his power, but he did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, something to be grasped, something to be used to his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself. He emptied himself of transcendence, where God is everywhere present, where he is all-knowing. Jesus came into a specific time and a specific place. He was not under the normal laws of physics, of time and space. He was God, and yet he emptied himself and made himself subject to gravity, subject to the growth process. He became a human being. Talk about a power drop, right? He, from God to being human. Not only that, he didn't become a very powerful human. It says he took on the nature of a servant. He became a man. He humbled himself even further and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. He humbled himself. He did not use the power he had access to even save himself. Verse 8, it says, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death on a cross. That's the opposite of worldly power. He gave himself up to the cross. But look at what happens because of his humility. Verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That there is Christus victor. That is Christ triumphant. That is Christ the conqueror. Through humility is how he did it. And how do we partner with Christus victor? How do we overthrow evil and reconcile and redeem all things to God? It's in humility, real humility. Dependence on God would be a good definition of humility. Look at what James chapter 5 says, or James chapter 4, verse 5 says. It says, he gives more grace, therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud. They're not like Jesus. In humility he came, but gives grace to the humble. Is Christ the conqueror going to partner to overthrow evil in your heart and in the world if you're proud? Answer is no. The Bible is clear. God will not enter into a partnership with the proud. He'll oppose them. He'll only partner with the humble. But here's the dynamic that happens. We see our lives and we see how desperately we need God, and we recognize our utter dependence on him, so we enter into this partnership with Christus victor and to overthrow the evil we see in our hearts and in the world around us. And it happens. Our hearts change. Our lives change. We're no longer... We're no longer bound to the big things that used to bind us. But what can happen is the danger of partial success. So we no longer depend on him because we see, we're good. Our lives aren't falling apart anymore. Life is good. Pride creeps in. Danger of partial success. Here's what happens. In the blindness that pride brings, unknown to us, we cease to partner with God. But we still see those in need, and we still see our own needs. We still see evil that needs to be overcome. But we stepped out of humility and into pride, and our partnership with God to do his work in our lives and in the world has been dissolved because God opposes the proud. And so we see the need, so we try to conquer, but we can't. So what do you do when you try to overthrow evil and you can't do it? Well, the best thing, of course, would be to be repent and go back to humility. But often what we do is we revert to that which we know. We try to use our own power for the problems we see in our lives. So if I can't bring God's power to bear on this situation, then we'll bring political power or psychological power or the power of money or the power of effort or the power of intellect or the power of controlling our situations and the people around us. We will cease to partner with Christ and use our power rather than his power. And as we do that, we take steps away from the kingdom of God and kingdom life. We step away from the power of God and the promises of God. But the problem is that we're Christians, right? Christ is still in us, but he's opposing us because we're proud, but we still bear the name of Jesus, and we would confess that we're under Jesus' banner. So what do you do if you're a Christian, but you're trying to solve the problems with your own power? I don't know if you've ever done this, but my go-to is rationalization. We need to tell ourselves stories that Christianize our use of these powers. And then we start to make living outside the kingdom of God sound amazingly Christian. After all, we're fighting against evil, right? That has to be Christian. We want what is good. That has to be Christian, right? We're using our influence for good things. That has to be Christian, right? But what has really happened is we have ceased to partner with Christ, and we've taken on a new partner called worldly power, and then we make our own plans and invite God to bless him, making him our servant rather than us being his. And it's sheer pride, but one of the ramifications of pride is blindness, and so when a person is sinfully proud, they won't see clearly. They don't see their own pride. They don't see how the evil that pride closes the door on God and opens the door to self-reliance. They don't see themselves as being anything but good. God must be on my side. We buy into triumphalism, and we can't see it. So here's what happens. Christendom, if you take a look around, we have learned to build great churches out of these kind of dynamics, but we haven't been good at building great people. Our churches can be filled with excellent music, but be empty of praise. Our churches can be filled with great oratory and empty of true discipleship. Our churches can be filled with energy and empty of the Spirit. Our churches can engage in great causes and disengage from the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. But the problem just isn't found in churches. We too, as individuals who have followed Christ, could slip into the same thing. We start to think that, we can do things ourselves. We depend on things other than God. We depend on doing our devotions. We depend on going to church. We depend on the fervency of our prayers. We depend on our own intellect. We become proud. We become independent from God, which is the definition of pride. And Christ the Conqueror ceases to be a partner, but we still see ourselves as Christians, but we're living outside the power of the kingdom, but we try to do things in our own strength, and we fail. So we go back to what we know. But instead of going back to humility, dependence on God, we go back to our own way of doing things, our own power. Many of you have a good education. You can do some research. You can read self-help books. Maybe that can overcome the evil I see. Most of us have access to the internet and can find other people who are going through the same problems like us. And we can find a support group, and you can find people to affirm you in anything. Some of us can bring money to bear on the problems. We can buy good counseling. We can get good coaching. We can get good mentoring. We can get good advice, but it's all about what we can do. We do the work, and we ask God to bless our work, and again, we make him our servant. We use our power to control situations, and often the situations around us, and we create laws for ourselves that we need to obey. We become religious and maybe even look spiritual, but we're not kingdom people, and our pride blinds us because we've Christianized all these things. They're good, after all. They're Christian self-help books. They're Christian friends. They're Christian support groups. What I'm doing must be Christian, right? Must be good. And we often miss the heart of the kingdom. And we don't know it, and the biggest danger of Christ having his way in our hearts is this partial success, because Christ the Conqueror needs to go more than just fixing up the problems we see in our lives. He needs to deal with the pride in our life. Christ the Conqueror needs to deal with that belief that we can live independent from him, because our lives need to reflect the humility of Christ, and we can actually partner with him. Look at Jesus. He said, the Bible says he emptied himself. He humbled himself. He didn't become powerless. He demonstrated a lot of power. He healed the sick, raised the dead, fed the multitudes, calmed the storm, walked on water. That's hardly powerless. But he says of himself, I've only done what my Father has shown me to do. People, you're not without power either. Some have political power. Some have leadership gifts. Many of you have the power of a good mind. You have the power of your will to get things done. Many of you can solve problems. You have the power, some of you have the power of money. Some of you have the power to see things how they are and to move them forward. Some of you are great organizers. Partnering with Christus Victor doesn't mean that you won't use the power that is at your disposal. But it means partnering with Christ first. You will use it when and how he shows you to use it. You won't try to take on problems on your own. You look to him to fulfill his will and calling in your life. If you want to grow in character, if you want to overcome evil in your heart and in this world and find peace and joy and strength, you start with God first. You partner with God. You have him direct you in the power that you have. Church of Galatia had heard the message of the gospel. They'd heard of the power of the cross. They'd heard what Christ could do in their life, and they received the gospel. They received Christ by faith. They followed after who Jesus is. But time went on. And there were people who came into the church and they said, yeah, well, it's great that you begun by faith. You put your faith in Christ, But now what you need is a bunch of rules and regulations. See, you'll be great at overcoming if you are to follow these rules and these regulations. Here's what Paul writes to them in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. It says this. Paul says, let me ask you one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish could you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect on your own human effort? But it happens. We begin with the Spirit, but then we think we can conquer evil, change our own heart, change our own lives with our own human effort. Didn't work back then, won't work now. If you bought into triumphalism, if you bought into a way of saying, oh, yeah, I've been victorious, look at me. If you bought into a triumphalism that says, yeah, it's all my hard work that's made me like I am, and you look down on others as if the success we've experienced is in our own power, will you choose to turn around and say, Lord, there but for the grace of God go I? Will you live with humility? Would you renounce the pride that comes with partial success? You've celebrated how far you've come. And that's a good thing to celebrate, a wonderful thing to celebrate. But when that turns into saying, oh yeah, let me rest in my laurels, or let me use my own effort to get the rest of the way, that becomes something to repent of. Would you renounce the pride that causes you to live independently from God? Will you acknowledge your total dependence on Him? Would you renounce your need for control of your life and put it under God's control? Some of you are saying, well, how can I do that? How does that work? As with most things, it starts with repentance. God, sorry for my independence from you. Sorry for my pride. Lord, I can't even fix my pride without your help. I'm dependent on you even to be able to see my pride, because I know my pride blinds me to those places. So Lord, would you open my eyes so I could see? And would you forgive me for trying to do the work that only you can do? Would you forgive me for walking away from a partnership with you and just trying to do everything on my own? Will you partner with Christ to overthrow evil in yourself, in your heart, and where He shows you in this world? Will you commit yourself to partnering with Him in the middle of success? Because there's a danger in partial success. This morning we're going to celebrate the cross. It was a starting point for overcoming evil. And it continues to be the way that God changes us. What we're saying in communion is that, Lord, I'm dependent on you. Not only for back then when you saved me, but Lord, I recognize that I need to be saved every day. You're in the process of saving me. And I recognize that there's going to come a time when I'm going to be made perfect when I see you in heaven. We were saved. We are being saved, and we will be saved. But you are not being saved because of your own human effort. You continue to be saved because of the power of the cross. Let's pray. Lord, we depend on you to change us. Our hope is in you. our dependence is upon you. Forgive us for our pride that so often acts independent of you. Forgive me for my pride. Lord, we're dependent. It's not by our might or power, but it is by your Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Help us to see what you have for us and follow after you. Lord, show us the next step to take in our spiritual life and help us to have the faith to take it. Lord, help us not to go on a self-improvement binge, but just follow after you step by step and trust you to make the difference. Pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.